Good morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know who I am. And this is my first attempt at a live or video feed. Just want to make a couple of announcements. First of all, you'll notice I haven't shaved or I need a haircut. I need to shave. I usually shave myself, but the barber cuts my hair. So he's under COVID-19 rules. But I think he's still kind of, you can go knock on the door of his house and he'll cut your hair. I guess the guy's got to make a living. Anyway, other than that, prayer request. Making sure that if you have someone who you want prayed for or who would like us to pray for them, just have them call the church, leave their name and their request. They don't have to leave their number. Just leave their name and their request on the church answering machine, and I check it daily. I can check it from home. Sometimes I check it 2 or 3 times a day to make sure that we've been getting requests. So we've got a lot of requests, and what we do is every Saturday morning, and you can join us on YouTube. You can join us on YouTube. Doris and I actually pray for all of those names and the different situations that are going on. Just leave us your request and we'll make sure we get it done. Having allergy problems. So if I clear my throat too many times, I'll try to figure out how to take it out. Been told to stay, keep the throat hydrated. We were getting ready to, before we got this shelter in place thing, I was getting ready to start a new series of messages told, and the series is titled "The Lord Will Deliver," and of course that is taken from 2 Corinthians 1:10, where it says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust He will still deliver us." So let's take that in prayer. Lord, we thank You for giving us another chance, another opportunity to share and minister to Your children, Your precious flock. Unworthy as I am, Lord, You for some reason have found me worthy. So I ask that You allow me to minister to them with whatever needs they have, with whatever I can provide. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is the sermon actually for today is titled "Lord, You're Holy," and I guess if Sister Smith is listening or watching, she'll smile and goes, "Oh yeah, right." Today's text is from Psalms 18, which has been really ministering to me personally. Especially the first 2 or 3 verses really, really has been an encouraging verse for me every morning almost. It's just a beautiful passage. So turn your Bibles to Psalms 18 and wait there on me. You know, in these times, these particular times, many Christians are sheltering in place and there is a need for encouragement. But the beautiful thing about it is that when you realize that this is the way things are going to be for a while, you start the process, what I call the zigzag process. And what that is that when David was in Ziklag, one of the things that the scripture teaches that he did, and you can read about that in 1 Samuel 30. But when David was in Ziklag, he spent time encouraging himself. There were a lot of things going on. And people were talking about hurting him and blaming him for a lot of stuff. And so he locked himself in or hid himself away and just encouraged himself. Well, this is kind of a Ziklag situation that we're in. And like David, we can hunker in and find our hope in our own personal relationship with the Lord. If you can imagine Ziklag as representing any uncomfortable circumstance in our lives, you can actually see now how this is a blessing for all of us, that we have that ability. Oh, we would like to see each other, sure. I've told the church before, I've told you guys before, I actually love seeing you. I love, enjoy just being around you. That's why every time the door opens, I'm there. Whether I'm preaching or teaching, you guys are always important to me. And I pray, you know, that most of you like me too. That's just what it boils down to. Been talking to some people who will probably be visiting with us. And so I'm still working on building the congregation. And just got in touch with a whole group of folks, a whole family of folks. And they very well may become a part of our ministry. So there's work to be done in Ziklag. So we have that kind of work. Now, everybody's not Wi-Fi hot, but I bet you everybody has been doing just that. All Christians have been doing that. That time of encouragement. This, two is better than one, scripturally. Three is even better than all that. So Doris and I have come up with all kinds of ways. We do a lot of praying. Doris shares some cookings, you know. The Johnsons will come over and either eat with us and then take some stuff home, or sometimes Doris will just fix them up something. And that's not trying to make Doris look like some kind of a holy saint or something. She just that's what she does. Providence keeps her busy too. She's been doing a lot of other things, and I won't even mention that. But we're staying busy. We're not just sitting at home. And then every morning, of course, the prayer cast. And if you're not watching or not listening to the prayer cast, don't forget, you upload them on your smartphone. I've got an app that actually every morning at 5 o'clock, the app just pops up and starts the prayer cast for me. Then we like probably many of you, we've been really reading a lot of scriptures, reading the Bible. We both finished through the Bible in 3 months. this sheltering in place probably helped that. We're not the only ones, though. I'm positive we're not, because I know for a fact Mamie did, because we've been keeping in contact with her over there, because she's still got some surgeries and stuff pending. So she's been on our prayer list, and there's some other things going on in her life. I'm sure she doesn't mind me saying that, but we bump them on more than one occasion. Doris actually saw Donnie today, or no, yesterday. So this is going to be Sunday. So she saw Donnie Saturday. They were both over at the church. Psalms 18, first three verses, I think. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of salvation and my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Beautiful passage, and so appropriate. The first look, you realize that there is encouragement in just these first two or three verses, because right up front it identifies or lets us know that we can be encouraged because we trust in a sovereign God. You understand that? A sovereign God. David says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. He calls the Lord his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his shield, his horn of salvation, his stronghold. Just look at that. That's a God who doesn't need anything. That's a God who is self-sufficient. In fact, the word here used for Lord is Jehovah. And Jehovah means the self-sufficient one, or the self-existing one, self-contained. What magnificent truth that is. Look at the description. When you look at the Lord, my strength, you think of security. He's the rock, so he's a good defense. He's a fortress, so he's protection. He's salvation. So he's the escape for all of us. The stronghold, he's our sanctuary. the absolute sovereignty of God is a great theological truth, and one that this particular church holds true and has held to for the past 38 plus years. Listen, when we say God is sovereign, we are not saying God is sovereign but, or God is sovereign if, or God is sovereign when. When we say God is sovereign, we are simply saying that's what he is. He is sovereign. He's God all by himself. In several places, one in particular, I think it's in Deuteronomy, he exposes his sovereignty by saying, I'm God. I kill and I make alive. See, everything fits into the parameters of God. Nothing happens. Nothing happens that he doesn't do directly or that he doesn't sanction to be done. Read Job if you don't believe that. God is sovereign. He is absolutely sovereign. But you know what? As high and holy as this particular doctrine is, it is never so evident in my life, to me, and probably in your lives as well, as when Lois, at my often request, probably annoying request, gets in front of the congregation and she sings that song, the title of this sermon, Lord, You're Holy. What a wonderful description that song uses. Wonderful, glorious, holy and righteous, victorious, conqueror, triumphant and mighty, healer, deliverer, shield of defense, strong tower, and my best friend, omnipotent, omnipresent, soon coming king, Alpha, Omega, Lord of everything. And you think if I could sing a little bit, I would have sung the song for you today, illegal or not. I don't believe I wasn't going to at least play it until I called Sermon Audio and they said, you can't do that. That's not legal. But we are encouraged because we trust in a sovereign God. Secondly, we are encouraged by our love for God, because our love for God actually translates in our love for others. David in the psalm says, I will love you, O Lord. The passage that is important for us, and the idea conveyed in the New Testament, in our economy, is both found in Luke's writings. Matthew referred to the same thought too, and Mark did too. But Luke says in chapter 10, verse 27, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and your neighbor like yourself. I mean, it's kind of easy to get our focus in on loving God like that. But to actually add our neighbor, and says, love your neighbor like yourself. That's the great extension of loving God. That is the great extension of understanding how God loves you. Paul gets in on it. He writes about it in Romans, Galatians, and then even James gets in on it. But it's the same thought being conveyed. I want to read to you what Paul says, because I like the way he puts it. Romans 13 verse, starting at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, he says. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandments, Paul says, they're all summed up in saying this, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You see, the one thing that we have to understand, and it's clear, that you can't do this kind of thing. You can't love God like this without God's divine intervention into your life. So, we are encouraged because we trust in a sovereign God. We are encouraged by our love for God, which translates to our love for others. And then finally, we are encouraged by his love for us because it translates into grace for us. the way David put it, was my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust. But the way Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, well, I'll read chapter 1, because we know what chapter 2 says. Chapter 1, when Paul writes about it, he says, starting at verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now we know in chapter 2 he says, because by grace you're saved. But this is the stage for it. And this directs this kind of love toward those who he predestined to be adopted to Jesus Christ through Jesus Christ himself. And then I love it when it says, according to the pleasure of his will. That's a sovereign God's right. He is the one who can do that. In fact, everything that's done by him is according to his own will. It would behoove us to know as much about God's will as possible, because that is how we are supposed to operate. That's what saving grace is about. There's a good benediction that's often used and says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:16. That's a blessing. Let me close by going back to 2 Corinthians text and looking at verse 9. So if you've got your Bibles, quickly flip back to 2 Corinthians. And let's look at verse 9 just for a second. Just for a second. You got there? Let me see. Repeat that. Richard Smith, you got it? Richard got it. So let me read. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Listen, truth is, from the first Adam to the second, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. It was planted there by Satan, who tricked Adam into destroying his seed. It didn't work, because the second Adam came and gave us an opportunity to beat the spiritual side of death. That's what we beat. We have beat the spiritual side of death. We have not beat the physical side of death. Why am I saying that? So you'll understand that those things we are subject to that could actually cause us to forfeit our lives, we have not been exempt from. But oh, thank God. We are eternally saved, with an eternal salvation from an eternal God, and our spiritual side will live forever. We have been delivered from this great spiritual death, and that God still delivers us even now. And one day he promised that he will complete the delivery and bring us all into his presence. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He told his disciples that. Well, he's preparing that same place for you and I. So we need to be encouraged because we trust in a sovereign God, encouraged because our love for God translates into our love for our brothers and sisters, and encouraged because his love translates into grace. Isn't that right to say a good thing for us? The Lord is holy. Is holy. Thank you. And maybe by next Sunday I'll share you. Maybe. Maybe not. Pray with me. Lord, because you are able to keep that which we've committed to you, We praise you and honor you. You are God who is more than capable of handling our lives. You are our deliverer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.